to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Hinda, Marmini, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of Podcast and Chill. We're coming at you live from River Meadow Manor. It's a beautiful place. There's about 30 rooms here, so. Huh?
Yeah, man.
It's a wedding venue, so when you decide to get married, so you can come here, man.
Come here, come many times here. Yeah, and that's a beautiful place. Black owned also.
Yeah.
Just met the owner, lovely guy, Mr. Gamini.
Danko, please welcome our special guest this afternoon, the one and only Kid X. What's happening, bro?
Great, brother. Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you for coming. You know he's a chiller.
Yeah. I picked up.
Fully a chiller, yeah.
Do you watch like the whole episode or is it just some parts that
the
you like?
The entire thing, dog. I
shit.
Let it rock.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, man? Like on social media, a lot of people say I look like you.
What?
What?
Do we look alike?
I haven't picked that up. I haven't picked that up.
Yeah, no, you don't want to look like me, man. Have you seen this face? Terrible, horrible. How you doing, bro? What's been happening, man?
A lot's been happening, brother. I'm alive. I think for me, that's the big blessing of the now. You know what I mean? We've just experienced a lot of turmoil over the last couple of months. And for me, just being here, being present in this moment is the gift.
What do you mean? Like you personally or like as a country? Or as a
me personally, me as a country. Well, not me as a country, but the country, you know what I mean? The world. We're going through it, man. But yeah, I'm glad to be here to tell the tale.
So you follow up on like what's happening in the world, what's going on and stuff like that?
In as much as I can, I don't try and focus on it too much. But I mean, I pick up what I pick up, you know what I mean?
Hey man, I find that hard because you'll get depressed, man. So much shit going on, bro.
Yeah, I try and protect my mental space and make sure that I don't consume
too much junk.
All the things that, because I mean, if you look at what's being reported, it's actually stuff that could literally depress you.
100%.
So for me, I focus on just the diet of the mind and making sure that I take care of that.
Yeah. Dude, I found it so weird when you told me, because I thought like, you know, you from the hood.
Yeah.
Because basically, I mean, if you listen to the kind of music that you make, it's very like, you know, from the hood, Kasi sound, Kasi vibe, Kasi swag.
Yeah.
And to find out that you grew up in prisons, that's crazy, dog.
What? Grew up in a prison?
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, that's true, man. 18 years of my life.
Yeah.
I actually escape prison off the matric, funny enough, if I can word it like that. Itamala Milspanada. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so if you've been to like a prison, you'll notice that it's in like an area similar to like this place. Mm. So maybe this block would be like the prison, and then the people who work there, there's residential area for them, you know what I mean? To be in the vicinity. So I've lived at about 4 prisons throughout my entire life.
Damn.
Yeah.
How was that experience like, bro?
Crazy.
Yeah?
Crazy, bro. It hits different, you know what I mean? Because if you look at it, you in an environment where you in close proximity with some of the most dangerous people in the world.
Yeah.
But they sheltered. They're like you know what I mean? They're like a burglar guard away.
Yeah.
But occasionally, guba nama escape. Bro, so a siren will ring off to let you know. You guys will be playing at the park.
Yeah.
And a siren will ring off to let you know that, yo, there's a nigga on the loose. You know what I mean?
And that happened.
Yeah, that happens. In fact, at any time, that siren goes off and Fana, you gotta find cover. Wherever you are, you gotta run for cover and make sure that you're not affected. But I mean, I haven't been a victim of anything crazy like that. Mm. What would also happen is, in terms of just garden work, the prisoners who've been there for a long time are the people who then get a chance to like be sent out to come and work on your garden and so forth. So since a young kid, I mean, I've been able to interact with dudes, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
really like have chats about, yo, what's going on?
And you're not scared at that time, bro.
I think as a kid, I was oblivious to just the sensitivity or the fear element of what it is that I was getting myself into. But I think as an adult, you become more aware, you become more conscious of, yo, these people are actually in here for like some crazy things. And
yeah. Is there one thing. Prisoner that you remember like that you'll never forget? Like,
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No, funny enough, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of one specific prisoner. I've met so many.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you ever meet someone who killed someone?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And what did he say?
He killed someone.
How?
I'm fine. I was a kid. So yeah. In terms of just diving into the specifics, I was also, you know what I mean, jeez, not really keen to like, yo, unpack it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, but you could still see, because when you look into a person's eyes, and after they tell you something like that, in front of a lot of thoughts start to ring off in your head. So
hectic, bro.
Yeah.
And then have you ever been back to prison, like in your adult life? You know, something like Kumble Kai.
Yeah, my dad still works in the prison now.
Oh.
Yeah, so I mean, when I go see my dad, yeah,
but I'm saying, like, you've never been arrested?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I haven't been arrested, no.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from like a night in Brixton, Yana, where they caught us drinking, they caught us with an overloaded car in Melville.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
And then they charged us for like drinking.
Yeah,
drinking,
yeah.
Which was wild. But yeah. We spent like, what, 6 hours in Yana, and then we were out in the.
Oh, world. You've been through that as well?
Yeah, fully.
Have you been through that, so?
I didn't spend the night, but yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's public wild. Disorder as well.
Yeah.
It's wild, bro.
I had some mummies, so the car was full with some mummies. Mm. And then when we got to the police station, they took me in and asked the mummies, like, are you with this guy? And the mummies were like, nah, we don't know this guy. And then they left.
Ish, bro. Tough,
eh? Fuck, man. So when does the hip-hop bite you? The hip-hop bug bite you, bro?
Hip-hop bites me in grade 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've moved to Sun City at that time. I moved from...
Not the prison.
The prison.
Thinking, bro.
Bro, this is, keep up with me. My journey until 18 is me moving from prison to prison.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So I've moved to Sun City. I'm in grade 9. So when I get to the new neighborhood, I think because of my age, my personality was starting to sort of like change. So I'm less reluctant to go outside and try and find friends. So I started spending more time indoors, and I started focusing on music.
Okay.
I think one of the first projects that really piqued my interest was 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die
Trying. Oh, so classic.
During those times, you know what I mean?
Yes, many men. Hey.
I think that coincided with me watching 8 Mile, the movie, and then the soundtrack of that. So those two projects for me really sparked my initial interest. into hip hop. And I remember I had a group that I formed with a homie of mine who's my DJ right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we were in a group called Lyrical Assassins.
Yeah.
In grade 9, when I got to a school called JG Stridom. I think it's now called Diversity High.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he pretty much introduced me to an entire world of hip hop. Because prior to that, I was just a kid who loved soccer. I thought I'd be like a professional footballer. I was up and down, I'm a trial. I'd play left mid / left wing, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Like on my lazy days, I'd want to tuck in and just be in the left mid position. But yeah, on days where I felt energetic, I'd want to be on the touchline, just running the band line and whipping in the crosses.
Dope, man. Which trials did you go to? Which clubs?
I went to Chiefs, I went to Pirates.
And they declined you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was about... The business of trials, Pella, is very different, dog. And I felt like, for me, it was the luck of the dice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, on your day, Mfana, they're really going to get the best of you. But I guess on the days that I went, none of those were my days. Wow. So
who are you trialing with? Like anyone that made it?
I don't recall anybody.
Yeah.
Funny enough, you know what I mean? Yeah. When I looked at, I guess, all the people who came up the ranks, I couldn't really recognize anyone who I felt like, yo, I saw you in the line.
Okay.
Who's your GOAT? Ronaldo or Messi?
I think it's definitely Ronaldo, dog.
Ronaldo,
simply because he's been tested in the different leagues, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even at this age, he's playing in the most competitive league in the world.
36,
for me, that
dog,
says
delivering.
A lot.
Yeah,
he's giving you a goal a game. That's what he's averaging right now, and that's crazy.
Oh, so the X makes sense, and Kid X is from Orlando Pirates, isn't it?
No, funny enough. But that's how the name came up. So there was a girl called Miponi in my grade 9 class at Diversity. So I was big on, like, graffiti. And I think I drew, like, a skull. And I had, obviously, the X. So I was drawing the Pirates logo. I can't even remember why. You know what I mean? She looked at that. And then she, I guess, said X, and the bone somehow, you know, popped up. And, and I put those two together, and I was Bone X. And then I extended it, and I was the Kid Bone X for, like, a period of my high school years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then post that, I had to shorten it, and I went by the Kid X. When I came up and I started putting music on radio, C's, when he'd back announce my music, when he'd play it on the Hot 99, he would just say Kid X. And that became a thing, and
then it stuck.
So I
ran
with that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit, man. I wanted to ask you before you were talking. I wanted to ask you. Fuck, man. There's a question I wanted to ask. I just forgot now.
It'll come.
What were you saying again? Say what you just said now.
C's were back announcing.
No, before that,
Kid Bonex.
The Kid Bonex. The name was longer. The Pirates logo.
Yeah.
Me born near the girl. Grade 9. Now I'm just throwing, like,
bullet
points at you.
Fuck, I'll remember it. But anyway, so is it true that C's is the one that found you? Like he found you.
Yes, that is true. I found him.
Yeah.
So what happened was, in 2010. I was coming back from writing an exam, AUG, in the evening. My dad picked me up. I told him, yo, pops, there's a radio station close by. And last week they said, yo, if there's any rappers, they should pull up. So
this is YFM?
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's pull up. I think I've got some, you know what I mean? I've got something I'd like to display.
Yeah.
So I pull up on C's. I think it was like 30 minutes before the show. So it was still, you know what I mean? Thursday night, legendary Full Clip days.
Yeah.
And I think I was the first guy to ever be on Full Clip.
Yes, I remember. I think he once mentioned that, yeah?
Yeah, I was the very first guy to be on Full Clip. So I pull up on him. He comes outside and I give him my story. Yo, Washawakima, I'm here to rap. You said last week.
Oh, I wanted to find out what's your real name. Yes.
Oh, my real name?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't want the story.
What's the real name before forgetting?
Yeah, my real name is Bonginkosi Mahlangu.
Okay, Bonginkosi Mahlangu. All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, carry on.
So I tell him I came to rap like you announced last week. Yeah, man, put me on.
Yeah.
So he's like, nah, you can't rap because I've invited Glitz Gang and I've invited the PTA cats, your Envays, your Black Lasers, your P Dots. So
and he doesn't know you at this time.
He doesn't, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, Fana, come on. You know what I mean? So I start arguing with him and he says, okay, fine, kick something now. We're on the steps.
Yeah.
Hype park, outside.
Yeah.
He's like, kick something now. So I spit a quick eight, Nyana, you know what I mean?
Do you remember it?
I don't, funny enough.
Yeah.
By the time I'm at like bar six, he's like, okay, stop, you're rapping on the show. I was like, I'm fine, we're in. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I went in there and obviously the dudes started coming in. And yo, Fana, just being in the same space as like dudes who I really looked up to. And still do, till today, you know what I mean? They guys who really inspired me wanting to be a South African rapper. Because when I came up, those were the guys who were doing it. And they looked so cool. Like, for the longest time in my life, I always wanted to be a member of the Glitz Gang.
Yeah.
And for me, that was like, yo, if I can just...
just get in there.
Dog, bang nigga nje, honorary, something. Then I'm set, I'm in, you know what I mean? So being in that space and being called up to spit on the mic and knowing what these niggas are watching
me. Yeah.
Nerve-wracking. But at the same time, it fuels you. It gives you that fire to like, yo, I gotta make them feel it.
Wow.
So I brought it, dog.
And you murked it, man.
I brought it, you know what I mean? And from there on, I kept coming back for a couple of weeks, and then until I stopped. Then I realized, Guti, actually, I've created a certain awareness about who I am on this platform in as far as rapping goes. But now I need to get into the playlist. So I started submitting songs.
Who are you working with on these songs?
I was part of a indie label called Quest Records, Yasitsakane,
at that time. That's label you're part of, yeah?
Yes.
Aye.
Was it the first? Yeah. Yeah, it was the first. So I'm working with the gents and we're cooking up songs on the weekends because that's when I can make it to studio. Mm. So during the week, in between school, I'm writing whatever I can write. And at that time, I was like toying around with the idea of writing in my head. So I'd be on the train from my parents' crib to like a Park Station.
Yeah.
And I'd be writing the most amazing verses in my head, dog. And on the weekends, I'd take a taxi to Itsakane and I'd put everything down. And then if I had like solid songs that I believed in, I just send it in to YFM. And I think I sent a couple until one eventually unlocked the platform.
Which one was it? The song that unlocked
it? There was a song called Pillow Talk.
Oh, Pillow Talk.
That I sent. Yeah, so I'd send it to C's because now I had his personal email.
Wow.
So I'd send it to him personally.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't respond. He wouldn't grant me a response. You know what I mean? I'd have to listen to the show to find out if I made it or not. So with the first one that made it, I remember I debuted at like number 7. And for me, I think when that happened, my eyes lit up and I realized that, yo, now I'm finna, there's an in. We definitely have to keep coming. So every other week, I was sending him stuff.
Yeah.
The next song I submitted was a song that wasn't even mixed.
Mm.
It was a song called Hard. It was like a 6-minute long song.
Damn.
With just straight raps.
That's fucking crazy.
It had a chorus in the middle, so there were 2 long verses on there.
Sure.
And he debuted that the very next week. So now he knocked out the other song because he felt like, I can't put this guy on 2 chart positions.
Yeah.
And then the third week, he brought the other song back. So now I had 2 songs on the charts.
Mm.
And the song Hard eventually made it to number 1.
Yeah.
And it stayed there for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
3-4 weeks. When that song looked like it was going to fall off, I threw in another one. I dropped a song called All About the Money featuring P-Dot.
Mm.
That made it to number 1. Stayed for a couple of weeks. When that looked like it was going down, threw in a dog. I went on like a 22-week run of just me being on those charts uninterrupted.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
When all this is happening, are labels hitting you up? Like, who's hitting you up? Did you get in offers?
No, not in that moment. Not in real time. But I remember there was interest from like cats who were in the industry. I remember Elias.
Oh, okay.
He would be on Twitter talking about, yo, who's this kid? I'm fucking with the music. The real interest only came in when, I think it was top of the year 2011, when Cash Time was being established. So UKO picked up Uzinga.
Yes,
and
yes,
me and Zinga, Zinga had been boys since like 2009.
Yeah.
So we'd been running together. So he was picked up on one of the rapping nights when Tear Gas were being interviewed on the show.
Oh,
so they picked him up and said, yo, we doing 1, 2, 3. So he told them about me and he said, yo, I've got a homie who also spits, who's crazy. So they obviously did their research, checked out some of my stuff, spoke to C's as well, who I believe gave me like a dope reference.
Yeah, and he's tied with KO.
You know what I mean? So And then they reached out to me through Zinger and said, yo, let's meet on such and such a day and find out what you got.
Mm.
So there's something happening at, what's this club at Monte? Vaca.
Vaca Mata.
Vaca.
Yes. There was the legendary like
a,
Vaca.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a Vaca Mata Valentine's Ball hosted by El Tito and KO. I think it was around the time of We Rolling.
Woo!
Bro. So I pull up there. I'm there with Smash's brother, older brother. His pops, funny enough, dropped this off. So we're there like super early, about six, Joe. So we loitering the place, waiting obviously for club time.
Yeah. Before COVID time.
Yeah, bro. So we there from like six. I know. Eventually, I think we moved to the club about 10, 11. I don't even remember what time they showed up. But when they walked in, Fana, you saw
the entourage.
The entourage, and Fana back to front. Mm. Obviously, Zinger is in there. So now it's showtime.
It's like me. A movie, like, bro.
This is a different life. So that whole night goes down. And as they're leaving, at the end of the night, Zinger calls me, says, yo, come holler at the big homie. So I'm walking them out now. And they walk into the car park. And I'm talking to KO. He's telling me, yo, so I've heard so much about the stuff that you can do. And I've heard some of the music. And I think you have a lot of potential. But the only condition... or the only factor for me that would decide whether or not we work is if you can spit in Vernac.
Hmm. Oh, you're not spitting in Vernac at
I'm
the time?
I'm spitting in English that entire time. So yeah. He's like, I'm giving you a week. I'll see you in a week's time.
Yeah.
Work on some material. Fana, I've never written a single bar of Vernac at that point.
Yeah.
So that entire week, Fana, I'm in the workshop. Like, trying to come up with some of the freshest Vernac bars.
Wow.
Because this is my shot and I gotta make it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I meet up with him a week later. He's scooping us in Bram because he's scooping me and Zinger in Bram.
Yeah.
Because they on the way to an interview on Metro FM with Touch.
Mm.
And now my audition is going to happen in between that.
Wow.
But I'm not even aware of like what's about to happen. I'm just being scooped up. Yo, let's go. So they scoop me and Zinger. And then we pick up AB Fab. And then we drive to the SABC and we park outside.
Mm.
On the incline.
Audition time.
He switches off the car. I'm sitting in the back. He looks in the rear view. He's like, okay, let me hear what you got. He hasn't said two words to me. He looks in the rear view and he says, okay, nigga, let me hear what you got. Bro, no beat, nothing.
Yeah.
I think I even mentioned to say how no beat can. Bro, he's like, Fana, just spit.
Mm.
Yo, my heart was beating out of my chest, bro.
Yeah.
But I rapped.
Yeah.
I kicked a couple of bars, but I think I fumbled some of it. You know what I mean?
And it's in Vernac now, yeah?
Yeah, it's in Vernac. Yeah. This is a new territory for me. So I spit. He stops me. He's like, okay, fine. I've got a beat for you. I'm fine. As soon as he threw on the beat, it was curtains.
Yeah.
It was curtains because for me, I felt like now this is where I can flourish.
Yeah,
I rapped on that beat. It turned into a cypher in the car.
Damn.
Because straight after I rapped, Zinger jumped on. He dropped the verse. Straight after that, AB Fab was in there. Straight after that, I was back in there. And then the beat ran out. And then he just switched off the car and said, okay, boys, let's go in for the interview.
Wow, just like that?
Just like that. Nothing else said. So I find out on air, in real time, while he's announcing to the whole country, to like, yo, so Touch Awesome. So tell us about this entire movement.
Yeah.
What's happening? What are you doing? So he tells him, yo, yeah, so we obviously roping in some young artists that we feel like could use with the platform. We picked up a kid from PMB, Smashes. We picked up a kid from Davyton, AB Fab. And we just signed a kid today. A kid called Kid. I'm losing it in real time, bro.
Right there,
bro.
Where's the contract? You don't care.
No contract. Contract yet. It's the...
Yeah,
it's
gentlemen.
The unfair.
Yeah.
It's the bro. And shit. For me now, I'm more than glad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, paperwork for what? Let's go. Yeah. So, dog, I never looked back since then. For me, that's where everything changed.
Shit, that's crazy, man. How did Kara Kara come about? Because I think that's one of the biggest songs to ever come out of this country.
History making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kara Kara comes about...
in the
top
car.
Of the year.
Or you're driving back home now. From the car.
It comes about top of the year in 2014. Yeah? So this is after now they've restructured the company and they've decided, yo, we're separating you guys as a group, as a duo. Because remember, AB Fab or AB Crazy left. And then it was just me and Zynga for the longest time.
Oh, so you guys were meant to be a group.
They somewhat, yeah.
Oh, you
because
were,
we
okay.
put out that initial project as
oh, yeah.
as a collective.
So remember, you did a video in Soweto.
Yeah.
And maybe you were singing.
Yeah.
You guys were spitting. Yes,
yeah.
I remember.
I think the idea, because they were a group, they wanted to sort of...
Or have more groups.
Type of thing.
Okay.
But they knew that when they picked us up, we were solo acts.
Yeah.
So evidently, that didn't quite play out like they'd intended.
Why,
so,
why didn't it?
I think because we... had AB Fab initially in the structure, no? And then for whatever reason, they felt like, ish, this is not quite what we are looking for.
Okay.
So they ended up replacing him with AB Crazy. So AB Crazy at the time, if you guys can remember, was also making a lot of noise
because
he was running with Octave Couple. He had songs on radio that were just shutting it down.
Yeah.
So... they picked him up, and it was a straight swap, AB for AB.
And you had no say in that?
Dog, I'm just glad to be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So straight swap. So he's coming in, and we're halfway through the album, through making the album. So he's coming in, and we literally replacing certain verses, and he's punching in. So at some stage, once we... put out the album, and once the vision gets rolled out, I think AB Crazy starts feeling like I'm ready to jump out on my own and I've got solo aspirations.
Okay.
So I think that's where they start seeing differently. So he ends up feeling like, yo.
That's when you went to Kalawa, ne?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, so, yes.
So it's just me and Smash left at that point, and...
you're still happy to be there?
Bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think... obviously they watched that entire thing play out, and then Nati, once AB had left, it became tough to push the project we've just recorded simply because now there's a guy missing. So now we're working on new music, trying to rebrand and trying to see what we can what pieces we can piece together and move forward with. And then come fast forward when they decide, actually, forget Cash Time Fam, we're splitting you guys, so everybody in the structure is going to be a solo act.
Wow.
So this coincides with the time where they also, as Tear Gas, are going to go solo.
So KO solo,
my E solo. Okay. You know what I mean? So it made sense for them. And then top of the year 2014, they're now cooking the sound, and they're cooking the identity of what this Cash Time Life thing is going to look and sound like.
Yeah,
and
that Kwaito rap kind of is that the right word to use?
Well, they call it Skanda.
Skanda.
They were developing Skanda rap.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Skanda
so rap. A song like Kara Kara comes about. KO's been in studio with Lunatic, and they've literally been engineering this thing, figuring out exactly the type of sound that they want to put out. Yeah. So he plays me the beat, and he tells me, "Yo." Since you're gonna be like the first guy who we put out there,
yeah,
I feel like this is my single, and it would make sense if we feature you on it because this is gonna be a big record, and it's gonna.
They knew it was gonna be a big record.
Yeah, he knew it was gonna be big. You know what I mean? So he's like, it makes sense if we put you on this record. It's gonna serve as a launch pad.
Yeah,
and then from there on, we can follow up with your singles. So I went into studio, knocked it out, and shot the video. And dog, just from the fresh aesthetic feel of that entire song and the movement and what it looked like it was becoming, you knew, like, in the back of your mind, like, okay, we actually tapping into something else.
Mm.
So
something special is happening.
Yeah, so that became that, you know what I mean? And I guess once that hit, as a camp, we sort of had to now expand on the sound. So we have to now tap into this pocket and have to make songs that are in this vibe.
Yeah. And own the sound.
Yeah.
How was it like working in that camp? Like, did you guys have one producer and then everybody just gets in the studio, records? And if the song, if you like the song, you're like, hey, can I have this one? How was the working environment like?
The working environment was amazing. It was very team orientated.
Yeah.
So the producer, obviously, who was churning out the sound was Lunatic.
Okay.
Beats.
So a lot of the beats were chosen for us. KO was someone who was really directing the ship on that level of like, yo, try this beat out. If you like it, I really hear you on this. And then obviously
so he's pulling all the strings.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's how you got songs like Passing Special from myself. Even that hook, they wrote that hook.
Oh, wow.
They were like, yo, this is the hook we hear on it. For me, now, when I heard the Passing Special beat initially, it sounded super abstract. And I didn't really understand, like, what commercial feel we tap into with such a beat. But I guess once I played it a number of times and once I heard the hook as well, it made sense.
Yeah.
I started to really tap in, and then obviously I did what I had to do. Yeah.
And you knocked it out the park, bro.
Yeah, evidently so.
And did he ever take like some of your songs, like songs that you wanted, and then they ended up being on KO's album or something?
No. So his creative process, funny enough, was something that he kept very sacred, right? So he's someone who would cook stuff that would be for the team, and then he would then tap in and sort of focus on his solo journey. And then Manhlangane studio, maybe you there to record your song.
Yeah,
he's there knocking out two songs for his album.
Damn.
You know what I mean? And you hearing these verses in real time, and you're like, bro, the sound is expanding, and it's crazy. So being able to see that and being able to see him work on the album in real time like that was such an inspiring process.
Yeah.
Being front row and watching him create.
Shit.
Wow, man.
Insane, bro.
So why leave, bro? Because it sounds like you're so happy, man.
Yeah. So what led up to me leaving, right, is so KO has dropped his album.
Yeah.
He's had the success unprecedented in SA hip hop.
Summers, you guys won record of the year at the Summers.
Yeah. Beautiful. Like, we won collab of the year as well. And I don't think a hip hop song had previously achieved that.
Yeah.
100%. So come 2015, I've been working on a body of work. And now naturally people who are watching this thing have seen KO do his thing, and now the focus looks like it's coming to me. And now the baton is obviously, or the focal point in terms of the record label, is going to be centered around this next drop, Kid X. So I've been working on a project called Three Quarter Pace at the time. I submit a demo version of the project to the company. They hit me back after
Hip-hop
a couple
Scholars
of days.
Day as well, ne?
Scholars Day, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So they hit me back after a couple of days, and They not hearing it.
Shit.
They not. It's not resonating. Like,
you fucking kidding
like what
me.
I thought it would be. Yes,
it's
for
pop.
Real.
It's pop. It's don't pop. Say resonating.
Yeah, I want to be very political about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we not on the same vibration about the project, essentially. And for me, this is a project that I feel like is like a very real expression of where I am at that point.
Yeah.
So they say they not feeling it. So now I have to start negotiating and talking about, okay, we don't have to call it an album. Can we dress it as something else? But
EP or
I
whatever.
Definitely need this thing to come out. Mm. So they end up saying, okay, my nigga, if you're going to call it a mixtape, best.
Yes.
So what I then do is like, okay, cool. So I hit up PH, Raw X, and I schedule some studio time. I tell him, yo, bro, I need 2 days of your time. I just want to re-record this thing. Because obviously the version that I had was proper demo. Like, I recorded that thing in my bedroom myself with no engineering skills. You know what I mean? So I re-record the project as it is. Not a single lyric change, bro. The same project, same beats, same everything. I just re-record it with PH and he touches it and whatever the case is. And we put that out for free on Delta File Host.
Okay.
On my birthday.
Shit.
I think we dropped it at like 25 to 7 in the evening. Bro, we're sitting there watching the numbers.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
Wow.
Go in a week, I think we did 500,000.
You.
In excess of 500,000 downloads. You know what I mean? So in hindsight, they obviously then look at that and they see it as a missed opportunity.
Of course.
So they then suggest that, yo, let's actually put this project up on iTunes. So we can
monetize
the thing. And things were never the same after that.
Oh.
Things were never the same, dog. You know what I mean? Because it became clear that our vision is different. Like, how you guys want me to move and how I want to move are totally different things.
And I'm not capping. Hear the facts. Hear the numbers.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, for me, naturally, I think the relationship got strained. And the natural thing for me to do was to move from that.
So, how many other projects did you do even after that? Did you do any?
No other one. Yeah. What happened was, obviously, I tried to roll out a few singles from that same project.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I rolled out like two. And then, yeah, the energy in the camp was just never the same after that.
Yeah.
So naturally, the relationship, I guess, suffered. And I had to move.
So did you just get out, or was there a contract keeping you there?
There wasn't a contract, no. So it was a convo type of thing of like, yo, Bafetu,
let's push.
This is where I'm at right now. And I feel like it's best if I move.
So how do you get paid if there's no contract? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, there's agreed upon certain payment structures of like, yo, in terms of shows, this is what, yeah. And
you were happy with that, ne?
Yeah, I think that was dope. Simply because I didn't know much about the game.
Yeah. So had you guys had the same vision, you'd probably still be at Cash Time right now.
I definitely still would, yes.
Damn, bro.
Did you never ever, because a lot of people say don't sign to an artist.
Yeah.
Because you'll feel like you're second best.
Yes.
Did you ever feel like that? Like, KO was always the priority because he's the cash cow.
Cash Time.
Yeah, I mean, there was that. Simply because he was the hottest artist in the camp. And even in terms of attention, you'll give attention to what's bringing in the most money.
That's true.
But I guess on some level, just on a personal level, you start feeling like, damn, like, when am I actually going to reach a stage where I've got enough support around me so I can move in a direction that's going to get me to where I'm trying to go?
100%.
So, yeah, that's how it went down.
And then when does rap life come calling?
So rap life happens...
Hey, have you noticed, Saul? Cash Time is no longer rap life. It's no longer.
Yeah.
And the only common thing is they all both had kid aches.
Yeah.
He's the problem.
They're both X labels.
Yeah.
X labels.
Yeah. You got to solve for the X. It's important.
Solve for the X.
That's the Mets problem that we're dealing with. So, I left... Cash Time in June, eh? July.
Yeah.
And then I think my journey with Rap Life kicks off the very next month.
Okay.
Yeah, so initially Rap Life was meant to be a collective between myself, Questa, and Boosie.
Boosie, the singer?
The singer.
The singer!
Boosie. Superman Boosie?
Yes, sir.
Wow!
Damn, yes. Okay.
Wow!
Yeah. Wow! So... that's how it's meant to go down. And I think somewhere during just the talks leading up to the thing, Boosie ends up pulling out.
Yeah, she was having a baby at the time.
I think there was a lot of things happening in her space. So we end up just, it's me and Senzo now.
Fuck, that would have been dope, bro.
I know.
Yo.
And it would also open up a different channel of just like what we could potentially tap into, because yeah, it became a rap label. Whereas with Wussy, you can tap another, into
yeah,
bro. You know what
and
I mean?
She was game, dog.
Bro, she was in. She was about it. You
wow
know what I mean? So she pulls out. We end up running with just me and Senzo.
Yeah, yeah.
And that becomes the inception of that.
And you guys are boys, ne?
Yeah, we okay boys. Yeah. It's a flipping dope idea. Yeah. When you look at it on paper, funner.
Makes sense.
There's no reason not to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Also because we both come from like a similar background in terms of how we got introduced in the music space. He comes from the tier, from the squatter camp branch.
Yeah.
I come from the tear gas thing.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're banding together to create this powerhouse movement where we can extend the platform to other people.
Yes,
it makes total sense. You know beautiful what I mean?
I think it's because he didn't go to prison. That's the problem. Should have been in prison. Yeah.
So that's how that kicks off. Yeah.
So then when does Nota and who's the other guy?
Tana.
Leroy.
Yeah. Yes.
Come into play.
They are in the play.
Okay.
Yeah, because they are people who have been working with Questa.
Oh, yes. Part of his team and stuff.
Yeah, so Nota has been working with Questa since I met them.
Yeah.
Since squatter camp, because they pulled under.
Yeah, they came up from that entire thing. Yeah. I think Leroy is childhood friends with Senzo.
From the
At some point, they decide, yo, let's actually work, because he's got a corporate background. So he comes in too. You know what I mean? Mm. So that becomes the makeup of the label. Mm. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, to your question, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the partners in this thing.
So it's four people. So you guys registered the company together?
Registered? Not registered together. What ended up happening with the registration was that the registration became a verbal thing.
Okay.
That
okay
we spoke of.
Hey, you like
of
verbal things, eh?
Yeah. It became something that we spoke of and never really got around to actually formalizing it.
Mm.
So on paper, who was it then?
On paper, it was Leroy. If you check CPC,
CIPC,
records, you can actually see Guti.
It says Ntwana, not Leroy Cause.
Yeah.
Rap life.
Yes, that's what it says.
So that's what it said formally.
So why weren't you guys on the name on that document?
So what happened was there were a lot of back and forths just about who was entitled to what portion of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we had those convos for a long time and we never really reached a consensus about it. Mm-hmm. So in terms of formalizing and registering the thing, that became one of the hurdles.
Mm.
And it became one of those things that became put off for so long because there were so many pressing issues.
Yes.
Because the ship is moving,
you know what I mean?
And it never happened. It was something that we acted on. Because we knew, when I upete pesentenga, so when we're sitting down in meetings, you would exercise that.
Mm.
But in terms of just the formalities, it was never a real thing.
When you started making money, how were you guys moving? Like, who was handling the money? Did you ever say in it?
Yeah, so the money in the company was being handled by the businessman in the situation, which is Leroy.
Mm,
he's the person who's been entrusted with that.
Mm.
And he's obviously just distributing it where it's needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, my role was limited to really being an artist.
Yes.
In that space.
And that's what you want
to
do.
That's what I wanted to do. But I felt like there was an opportunity for me to grow beyond just an artist. Because in my previous label situation, I was just an artist. And for me, how we presented Rap Life to the public, people knew that we were the joint owners.
100%.
Mm-hmm. And just naturally, I felt like I wanted more than just the responsibility of being an artist. Mm. I wanted to assist
legacy,
in like managerial or label functions.
Mm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So Yeah, but that was never possible.
Mm.
That became very tough simply because it felt like I was interrupting like something that was pre-planned.
Oh.
And because I'm a minor shareholder that situation.
Yes.
So whatever direction I'm pulling in, I'm wasting my effort.
Mm.
This thing is pre-planned. It's moving.
What's Nota's role? What is he doing?
Nota would be a executive producer in the space.
Okay.
So everything that's got to do with studio.
Yes.
He's there.
Makwa, with Makwa and stuff.
With Makwa, he's working very closely with Makwa. My project, I think, was the first project that became the label's doing.
I remember he sent me Auntie.
Yeah.
And I was still at Highveld.
Yeah, so that became the first project. And that's a project that I worked very closely with Makwa and Nota. It was literally like an everyday mission for close to 2 years of us being in studio and actually working on records and trying to put together a specific body.
So what's going through your head, bro, like when you see, because I think, I don't know, maybe the part, like maybe 5-6 months ago,
yes,
when Questa comes on this show and he's got his say, when Nota and Makwa doing lives, going at it,
because
he said nothing during that whole time.
I definitely watched and with keen interest. What's going through my head is really trying to hear everyone's account of what happened. You know what I mean?
Like us.
And I realize that everything is based on perspective. Everyone will tell the story from
their perspective,
their vantage points. And it was quite interesting to actually hear everyone's rendition of what happened.
How did you find out that rap life is over? Because it sounded like Lira was going telling people it's over during lockdown.
We had a meeting actually right before we went into hard lockdown, where it was very clear to say, Bafetu, the coffers are empty. The direction we're moving in, or the future of the company, is doomed. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that became a very sobering thing. But for someone who'd seen the direction that we're moving in and who knew that we'd eventually reach this point, it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a surprise at all. And I couldn't really do much to try and console anyone, because I felt like this thing actually affects me to a point where my career is under threat, and just my my survival as an artist is like, I'm in yet another label fallout. Another label story, and jeez, will I make it? You know what I mean?
But you guys fucked up, man.
You
guys could have built a dynasty, man.
Totally. I totally agree, dog.
What would you do different? Like, what, knowing what you know now in hindsight?
What I would do different was, dog, the only way it would work is for me to threaten people. For them to actually hear me out.
And
to take what I'm saying seriously. If you look at the fact that in everything that, in every narrative that you heard about the fuck up, how many times did my name come up?
Hardly.
Why? Ask yourself why.
Because I remember going, wait, man, you and Questa were the main faces initially of this whole thing.
But ask yourself why.
And who better? You just come from a label fallout. You know how to move.
You've seen it happen before. You can preempt.
You know what I mean? So for me, when I see the telltale signs and I speak on it, and I put certain things on the table, and I stress, ukuthi bafethu, this thing, the way we're moving, it's not gonna work. And when I get ignored because I'm a minority guy, because maybe I'm not bringing in the most money at the time, I just sound like noise at the time. In fact, whatever I'm stressing, there's something else more important. Like, like maybe we're flying out to PE tomorrow. Like, Ishfana, we can't meet right now. So there's always something more pressing. No one wants to fix the roof while the sun is still shining.
What were these red flags that you were seeing when you were telling them, we can't keep moving like this, we'll crash?
The structure of the company was
too many cooks in the kitchen.
Dog, I would get a call about gigs.
Crooks in the kitchen.
From anyone in that office.
Yeah.
I would get a call from a different person about engagement. So be it a PR engagement, be it a show. I would get a call from just anyone. And for me, on countless occasions, I said, Bafethu, let's have a clear structure where I understand who I'm holding accountable for what.
Who's responsible for what? Yeah.
Yeah. And then time went on and I realized that, X, you're the only guy crying about is structure.
Mm.
So the reality is there's a structure at play. You're just the not only one who doesn't know what's happening.
Oh, fuck.
Peace.
And this became very clear to me when I went to Egypt and I came back. Because now I became aware of, like, pyramid structures. And just my, you know what I mean? awareness was on fleek when I came back from Egypt. And I realized, I was like, okay, Bafethu, clearly, all these things that I'm trying to affect, that I'm trying to come in and shake up, these things, Mfana, are really, like, they're like, what can I say? They're written in stone. Mm. If I can put it that way.
But you got your money, ne?
In terms of money, what I was earning was a salary. Mm. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much how we all agreed that this is how we're going to work the business.
How we're going to move,
Yeah. So, yeah, it worked. I think it sustained There was a level of surety about it where you knew that certain things were taken care of.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Gigs or not?
Gigs are not a sure thing.
Mm.
You go through different cycles 100%. Of like just your artist life. So, yeah, in that sense, yeah.
Well, are you cool with everybody now? Like with Questa, with Leroy, Nota? Are you
guys we're cool. We're civil.
Mm.
Yeah, we're able to talk when we link up and find out, yo, how are you doing in your journey now?
Yeah.
But I mean, there's still obviously that thing of like, dog, we fucked up.
Yeah.
We can never like run away from that. It's a real thing.
Yeah. But it's part of life, man.
It is, dog. Like for me, I look at it as a learning curve because it's part of, you know, when you decide I want to be this type of artist.
Yeah.
And this is my goal. I want to win a Grammy.
Yeah.
The universe sets up a syllabus for you.
Shit.
And this is my syllabus, dog.
Mm.
Everything that I've gone through is my syllabus.
School fees. Mm.
You know what I mean? The school of life, I have to.
Yeah.
I have, as long as I keep going,
yeah,
I'll get to where I'm trying to be.
All right, let's talk about Father Zen, man. Where we at, man? What's happening? What's happening?
Father of Zen is my latest body of work, Bafethu. It's out now. I think it's my most important album.
Yeah.
It's my third project. It's a different vibe, man. And it's so fitting that we're doing the interview out here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this is a very zen-like space.
Yes.
It's a 13-track body of work. Produced by Lunatic. He produces 9 out of the 13 songs.
Oh, so you're still tied to Lunatic?
Lunatic, yeah. We're definitely still good. So he produced 13. He produced 9. I've got Gobby Beast on one of the songs. I've got Given Zulu producing one of the records. I've got Untokozo Mathabela on one of the records. And then I've got a kid called Ziggy Sensation on the other record.
No piano tracks.
So Untokozo Mathabela produces a piano track.
Yeah.
Lunatic also has a piano track on there.
Oh.
So I've got like 2 piano type of records on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because Kandasan kind of like birthed.
It is, yeah.
Okay, not birthed, but had an influence.
I think it set the tone.
Yeah.
For like a sound like piano coming to the forefront. Yeah.
Shit, and you fucking with piano?
I am. I love it.
Yeah.
I think on a production level, I think for me, it sounds like a peak of what you could experience, like just from a sound level.
Mm.
Simply because Dog, when you hear that log drum and what the bass can do, it sounds like the equivalent of what they do with the 808 in trap. You know what I mean? And that, just in terms of stimulation, I think that is a different level.
Tell me about the name, man. Father Zen. I'm like, this nigga is one of those that do mushrooms on weekends. Ayahuasca.
I've done mushrooms.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I've done mushrooms. I think my first experience was probably like 3 years ago.
Shit.
And it was very eye-opening, you know
what
I mean?
For real?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I wouldn't encourage you to try it, but I mean, if you're curious about it, that's on you, dog.
Dude, I was curious.
I can only speak about what it's done for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it opened my eyes to a lot of things. But the name of the project really stems from me having undergone a journey of about 5 years of, like, rigorous, crazy meditation. Yeah. So I started meditating in 2016. And this comes after my first project, Itrikorapes. So remember I mentioned that I was at some point in 2009. In 2009, I was really big on writing in my head.
Is it fine?
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. I was big on writing everything in my head, right?
Mm-mm.
So that goes on for another 6 years.
Yeah.
And I get to the end of 2015 and I start feeling like, ish, there's always lyrics in my head. I don't have peace of mind.
Hey, bro.
But more importantly, I'm never present in situations. So we'd be sitting like this and I'd be piecing together a verse.
Shit. Even while you're fucking...
Dog, if a moment hits me, if it hits me, I'm, you know what I mean? That tupanyana about just the stroke. It's happening. You know what I mean? And for me, that started to steal my joy, dog, because I felt like, nah, man, this is no way to live.
Oh, yes, I get you, bro.
And I started reading up on certain things. I read a book called Restful Thinking. A restful mind, actually. And that book, at some point, I think halfway throughout the book, they go into practicals of like how you can actually quiet your mind. And they spoke about meditation. So when I first read what they want me to do, which is sit still for however long, 20 minutes, and do nothing, and just focus on breathing.
Wow.
For me, it sounded ridiculous because I was like, Mfana, why? Why am I wasting 20 minutes of my time doing nothing? My mind is totally going to overtake me. It's going to, you know what I mean? So I then obviously dove down that wormhole. And then a homie of mine, Sakile, who was already about it, we'd have chats and he'd tell me about his experiences of like, yo, this is how it's working for me, this is what I'm doing. So I started Nami entertaining the thought of actually doing it. And then I started.
Fuck.
And I'd do like 20 minutes a day, 25. On certain days I'd really just line them up and I'd do like 3 sessions of like 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And it really freed me from my mind because that was starting to become like my biggest enemy.
Bro, I get what you mean, man. Because just like you, it's not lyrics for me, but it's content. Like my mind is always thinking content.
Yeah, yeah.
I can never turn it off.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's crazy,
man. I feel you. So that could be a good or a bad thing, right? Because essentially you're not really looking to turn off the activity in your mind. What I've learned through meditation is that you pretty much want to just have like a young gap between your mind and you as the observer. So you need to be mindful of your thoughts. You need to be, you need to sit in your, how do I phrase this? So there's two minds, right? There's the mind that's always active and always thinking.
Yes.
There's the mind that when feeling sad, you will identify yourself as a sad person. But the reality is you are observing yourself going through a feeling of sadness.
Shit.
So there's the mind that goes through those things and identifies with those. And then there's the observative mind, the observer mind. And it's important to know that there's two. And more importantly, it's important to establish that gap between them. So you can occupy the seat in your observing mind, where you can just observe all the things that you're going through without claiming them and them becoming you, and you identifying yourself with those specific things.
Man, I feel like I'm on mushrooms. You're fucking with my mind. And this location is not helping.
Yeah, this location is perfect, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It's perfect.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's what meditation has done for me, dog. It's really allowed me to...
Are you hearing what he's saying? So does it make sense?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's allowed me to be present and to really just be grateful of, like, life.
Mm.
So in my meditation practice, I'll sit and I'll close my eyes and I'll focus on, like, different parts of my body. And I'll do, like, a countdown from five where I'll relax my head, firstly.
Mm.
So with every count, with every lower number, you relax it even more. And I'll go from head to toe. And then I'll do my entire body. And then I'll just sit and become aware of the sensations that come about and become aware of whatever thoughts go through my mind.
So at Rap Life, when you said, let's meditate, they were like, "Fuck." That's what happened.
You could say that.
Nah.
You could definitely say that. You know what I mean? In as much as not... I mean, I wouldn't say everyone is open to something like meditation, because I distinctly remember how ridiculous I thought
it is
when I was on the other side. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't expect people to be ready to sit down and meditate. Yeah. So yeah.
No, man, I love that, man. Fatherhood, how's it been now?
Fatherhood, amazing.
Yeah?
Bro, like, it's a different level of joy.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I feel like it's expanded my spectrum of emotions.
Yeah.
I felt like for the longest time, I was hovering
in the middle. No man's land, yeah.
In the middle, where I didn't know real happiness, and I didn't know real sadness, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But now, I walk into the house. Like, when I get home now, I know my kid is going to be thrilled to see me. Like, it's gonna be the equivalent of, like, the highlight of your day type of thrill.
Yeah.
And, like, that can never not affect you as a person. So I feel like that's just opened me up emotionally, and it's allowed me to really, like, just experience things with a different level of joy and a different level of depth.
Have we gotten to the level where we don't call women the B word anymore because you got a daughter now?
Yeah, definitely, dog. For real, like,
tell that to Saul. Saul still calls them the B word.
Hey,
yeah, he's
making things up, man.
Yeah,
he's making things up.
But you have a daughter too.
Exactly. So. That's why I'm like, I don't do that.
So hey, man.
Does he or doesn't he?
Hey, man.
I don't.
Yeah.
Dance, do I? Nah, I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough having to raise a girl child. You know what I mean? In South Africa, especially.
Ish, dog.
Ish, bro. It's an assignment, dog.
Mm, and yeah.
I mean, I feel like God chose me for a specific reason.
Mm.
So, also the album, the way I put it together, I realized that I needed to consolidate my image and how I've put myself out there. Because my kid is going to be old enough to visit my catalog and to really get a sense of who I am.
Yeah.
We don't know who our parents were, Fana, before we were born.
Nah.
True, bro.
We don't. True. We just know who they show up as once a year, and they're like, okay, I need to fix 1, 2, 3. I need to come across as this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But my kid will dig beneath that and say, Pops, I see who you are today, but who are you really? And who were you?
Mm.
So I realized that with this album, I need to tie up certain things, dog. And I need to round certain things off. And I need to make sure that there's a full circle type of experience about everything that I've gone through. So that's what I tap into on Father of Zen.
Bro, that sounds deep. Are we ever going to groove? It sounds so deep.
Yeah, no, like no, when we, guys say this, hey, the albums generally pop.
Yeah, my yeah, man. Yeah.
When they're grown up, they're like, I just did this album to enjoy, yeah, appreciate the music.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
to
yeah,
love music, to do what I love, finally.
There's no karakara in this one.
Crazy. So, you know, the thing about, if you look at a concept like Zen, it speaks about calmness.
Yeah.
But calmness, you can only find calmness out of disruption.
Sure.
So if you, on the album, there's a tug of war between order and chaos.
Ah.
That's important. I can't just come out as order and people feel like, oh, I'm fine, but nothing's ever disrupted your world.
Yeah.
How are we meant to relate?
Yeah.
Because I'm in a chaotic space right now and I want to be where you are. Yeah. So how do I maneuver?
Yeah.
So that's how I piece together the album. There's chaos. Right after that, there's a calm.
Love it.
And wow, it moves. It's a tug of war between those two.
Shit, man. I want to hear this album. When is it coming out?
It's out.
Oh, it's out already.
It's out already on all digital platforms.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really like a piece that I'm really proud of.
All right, we're going to play a game called One Must Go. You know this. You're a chair,
yes,
yeah?
Yes,
I don't have to explain
this. Yes.
All right, let's go. Tear gas, squatter camp.
Definitely squatter camp. Let's go.
Now, squatter camp.
I love squatter camp. I love squatter camp. Squatter camp, Mkuku function for me, was part of like me piecing myself together as a rapper.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Songs like Building Castles.
Song,
dog, like those are still records that when I revisit today, they take me back to when I was like 16, 17. And it's a vivid experience. You know what I mean?
What?
Cut and Joint? Are you familiar?
Cut and Joint, I think, was the previous album prior to that. So for me, I jumped on right by Mkuku Function.
Aha, okay.
Yeah.
Why aren't there any groups anymore? There's no squatter camp of now.
There isn't.
There's no tear gas of now.
The bag is little and you've got to divide it by seven.
Yeah, it is quite tough. I don't know, man. I can't really think about what the reason could be for that.
I think so much has been taken away from the artistry of making music.
Yeah.
Where you can just sit in your room, drop some bars, and then I can send it to you, X, you drop your bars,
and we're done.
Yeah, and then we're done.
Yeah, there's no longer an environment type of situation where we all in there exchanging energy and working towards a common goal. I definitely agree.
Yeah. Questa Kulichana?
I love both. Kuli gotta go.
Hey!
Obviously, come on.
That's a
no-brainer.
Yeah.
Like his best buddy.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, dog. Kuli knows he's my OG, and I've got love for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his rap life is over.
No,
No, your rap life is over. Rap life.
Yeah, my rap life is over.
No, I'm kidding, man.
Nah, man,
Burna Boy, Wizkid.
Wiz gotta go.
Wiz, Mr. Essence.
He gotta go.
No way.
He gotta go. Twice as tall.
Hey.
Twice as tall. Like, yeah, I've met Burna.
How was it working
with
him?
I've worked on a song on his album. It was amazing.
Nah.
Yeah, when we went out to Niger, funny enough, he hosted us.
And
Oh, wow.
That was a beautiful time. I got to visit his home where he was living at that time. Yeah, his mom made jollof rice for
us.
So do you understand why?
Yeah, the level.
Why Wiz has to go?
That's family.
Yeah, full.
Please explain how crazy Nigeria is. How big,
bro,
how massive it is, bro.
It's insane, my dog.
It's like five times as big as SA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. Also, the love and just how they revere artists. Fana, when we were driving in the streets, when he just scooped us up from the hotel, we're in the SUV, and we're in traffic, no? But there's dudes who sell each and everything on the sidelines. But now these dudes stop selling and now they surround in the car and literally Sebaya's cap on Fana too.
Yeah.
Wherever we're going, and it's just a frenzy. Like that was crazy too.
And they knew who you were.
Not me, no.
Yeah.
It wasn't about me.
Yeah. Burna Boy.
Shit, yeah, man. It was about Burna, yeah.
Oh, this is an interesting one. AKA the Les.
Yeah. Kenan must go.
Kenan!
Yeah.
You out of your mind, dog.
Kenan must go.
You out of your fucking mind.
I'll tell you why. Elias co-signed me first, dog.
Yeah?
Yeah. He co-signed me when no one cared about Kid X. You know what I mean? And he's still, like, on an energy level, he still keeps the same energy with me till today. Like,
but Kenan, no one has a better catalog than him, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Kenan, I mean, amazing talent. And he's my dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have to be real with it. You know what I mean? If one must go in this scenario.
Have you ever worked with Kenan?
Not on a song with just us together. We've come close because we've exchanged records. Late last year, he would send me records. Yo, do you want to jump on this? I would send him.
Which record did he send you?
Nah, it's records that he hasn't released.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it would be a case of, I don't quite hear myself on this, whatever. So I'd tell him, yo, let's actually lock in. Because for me, I appreciate what you spoke of about being in the same space and creating. So I guess the time hasn't really come for that. But yeah, I think it'll happen soon.
Soon, man. Muesli not in a cut.
Nadia must go.
No,
Nadia must go.
Eh.
Yeah, but Nadia knows I've got love for her, you know.
Wasn't
what I mean?
She on the remix that you guys did?
On Amin Thomasan.
Yes,
she was. She came
through.
Dude,
you fucking killed it.
Yeah, you murdered.
You showed up. That was dope, man. That was dope.
I had to show up, man. Look, the minute you hear that there's a remix and there's an entire lineup of rappers, Fana, you have to pull out everything. You have to pull out all
what
the
stuff. What do you think, apart from your verse,
Questa showed out.
Mags as well.
Mfana, everyone showed
everyone
up. We're keeping it about.
Ginger, a good day for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what makes that record so timeless. You know what I mean? Everyone really brought it.
What did he say? Did you hear him?
Nah.
What did he tell him? Ginger nonk.
So, Fana. Yeah, but everyone came through, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was dating Muesli.
What are you talking about?
Hey. That's just talk when I go catch time.
For real?
No,
Muesli for breakfast.
No. That is not correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a good understanding musically, and we're good friends, but it's never been beyond that.
Is it?
I'm dead serious.
Where's the Bible? Do you want to swear in the Bible?
Bring it. Bring it, dog.
How do you meet your baby mama, bro?
We met in 2014 at Max's Lifestyle in Durban.
Oh, what Max?
Yeah.
She's not famous, ne?
No, she's not.
Ah, nice.
Beautiful. Yeah, so we were there performing, and she approached me like, yo, we're trying to book you for a gig. She was part of SMB, the guys who make BAPS merch, you know what I mean?
We're trying to book you for a gig.
Can we exchange contacts? How can we get you? What's your availability?
Yeah.
And for me, boy, I saw other things. Like,
I want to book you for marriage.
The rest is history.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it unfolded. The cookie crumbled.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's it like dating famous chicks and normal chicks? Which one do you prefer?
I've never dated a famous chick.
Okay, so Muesli's not famous. All right, no, I mean, it makes sense.
I prefer
normal girls, man.
A lot of people.
Everyone. Famous girls are too much admin, dog.
Yeah, I can imagine the dynamic.
Yeah. Famous girls is nice for hit and run. Just a nice name.
No? Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. Because a lot of like normal guys never hit them up. They're scared, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's tough, actually. As a normal guy, now you sort of do feel like
it's
out of your range somewhat.
Just before you go, man, how was it performing on Sway's show, the radio show?
It was dope. We did it in front of a live audience.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They had like an OB. I think that's what you guys call
it. Outside broadcast.
Yeah, and it was dope, man. Like, I think, obviously, they don't understand half the lyrics. So they're relying on like the vibe of the music.
I
performed Auntie, and I think that went down pretty dope.
You know, when I first heard Auntie, I was like, oh, this is trash. And then the more I heard it, I'm like, wow, this is dope, bro. It's actually classic.
What sold you to it?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think the more I heard it, the more I got into it. You know, because I was coming from a house background, and I was listening to How Well You Did the TK sample.
Yeah.
So yes. I was listening, thinking of TK, and then after listening...
Were you upset that we even sampled?
Yes, I was.
Because I know certain people who have that thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then as time went on and I listened to them, I'm like, actually, this is a vibe.
Yeah. I think
it's catchy.
It was well executed, dog.
Yeah,
it's a very thin line to toe as well. If you're going to sample something and reinterpret it, it's a very thin line, dog, between being super cheesy and relying on the sample too much. Because for me, I also pride myself on, like, creativity and bringing meat to the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes with sampling, you do get those songs where you feel like, ish, but boy, you took that chorus as it is and you gave me nothing of your own. So, yeah, it is quite a tough one.
All right, man. Kid X, man, this has been awesome, bro. You look so grown, bro.
What do you mean? Age-wise, man.
Yeah, like you matured, dog.
As in I look old.
No, not you look old, but I'm saying like the stuff that you've been preaching.
I should have shaved.
Like you seem very mature, man. Like you know what you're about. You know you found yourself. Yeah. Very calm, zen, like you say.
It's a journey.
I mean?
It's the journey, my dog.
I mean, you don't drink now. You don't smoke, which is crazy, bro.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't drink. I don't smoke. But I've been through it, man.
Yeah.
And
it's
when
part
I
of growth.
Yeah, when I decided to stop it, I mean, I felt like I need to just embark on something different for my life. Because I started feeling like the place where God has called me to needs me to be like a vessel that is not affected by too many other things.
Damn, dog.
Wow. How many days has it been?
Since a year and a half.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, a year and a half.
So you're not going to be having sex, and I can see it, ne?
That's actually, like, for me, I realized that, yo, that's going to be a tough convo for me and my wife, you know what I mean? But hopefully it doesn't get to that.
No, you're hitting that. I can see it in
your
eyes.
You think so?
Yeah. Need to be pure, bro. This journey.
You're having sex with your wife. Where's the impurity there?
I'm not having... non-marital sex.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean,
so there's purity in marital sex.
There's purity in sex.
Yeah. So we'll advocate for sex. You know what I mean? So yes.
And you're not talking about the purity, baby.
No. Only R. Kelly sex has got next time. Our sex now is for grown and sexy.
Wild, bro.
Anything you want to ask, Kid X, bro?
Nah, nothing, bro. Shout out, bro. How like? Someone like me who wants to quit, you know, drinking.
Your reason, come through, bro.
Wait up, man. Someone like me who wants to, how would you advise someone
through,
to, like,
man. We're gonna rock
embark on that journey?
Have you ever worked with Reason, bro?
Yeah. We were in studio 2 days ago.
Oh, 2 days ago?
Oh, yeah.
Oh shit.
Sisu Alakai.
Sisu Alakai, no Reason.
With Alakai.
Alakai.
Yeah, that's my dude, for real.
Yeah. Great guy, man.
He's a very selfless guy. Like, I don't know too many people as selfless as Riz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always showed me love.
Sisu Alakai, Reason, we can't call you, bro.
It's Alakai.
Bro, where did
you...
Hola.
God bod.
You see, Jabatota. You good, my dog. What do you mean?
Bro, I'm ducking questions out here. You know what I mean?
What did you call me? Why am I here?
No, I wanted to ask you, like, dude, this nigga's so grown, bro. He's so mature, dog.
Konjo, what was that song they popped up with?
Goodbye.
Catch time, yeah.
Yeah,
there was no beer.
It's my first time, like, actually having a conversation with Kid X. I don't know if it's the same with you, so.
No, second time.
Second time, man.
I was bummed too much.
Yeah, and I'm like so impressed, dog. Like, the guy's focused, bro.
Yeah, he's a grown man, man. It's, a lot will happen when you go to Egypt.
When are you going?
I will go to Egypt. Take Saul to Egypt. You'll come back a different guy, dog. Might quit this whole shit.
Do you remember the first time you guys met? X.
Oh. When was the first time I met X? Yo, it was on the street somewhere. But I'll tell you one thing about X, actually, now that we're on the topic of him growing up. Yeah. X and Smashes were the first people to give me lean.
Oh, my God.
Oh, flip,
yes,
for real.
Yes, we were.
These cats were lean ganging hard, dog. Yo, the song never even came out.
Bro, and I bumped
we
that
got
song
so
recently.
We forgot about dropping the song. Yo, that song was so fire. Yeah. We never even dropped the song, but yeah. These niggas are the first motherfuckers to make me drink lean.
Wow, man, that's amazing. Shout out to you, man.
I'm not proud, Riz. I'm not proud of that.
Well, I'm sorry, you, man. You've changed, but don't worry about it.
Kid X, thank you so much. This has been amazing, man.
Thank you so much, bro.
In closing, what do you want to be remembered as, bro?
Blackout. Blackout. And I've watched this so many times. Yeah, and I've always said,
prepared for it, right? Yeah,
dog, where's my answer now? I want to be remembered for someone who did it his way. Someone who showed people that there's more than one right way of doing things. Two things can be true at the same time. I'm an example of that as someone who calls himself X, which is synonymous with being wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm going to hit you up about that meditation stuff, man. I'm going to get into
Let's do it, bro.
Yeah.
Should
All right, man. We're out here. Podcast and chill. Boom.
To advertise, email podcast@thisismechi.com.